Bill, can you talk about Steven Jackson has a chance, I guess, to have 8 straight years of 1,000 yards. Not too many backs have done that in their career. Can you just talk about a guy like him and what to be consistent in the league, you know, where running backs are, you know, average, I think, 3.5 years in their career.
When I think about him and watch him on the film like we have this week, a couple things that stand out is one is he's really competitive. You know, he looks like he wants the ball every single snap. He doesn't look like he gets worn out, runs really hard in the fourth quarter, runs through 8-man fronts. He's still got good straight line speed. I don't know if he's lost a step from 5 years ago, but he still has excellent open field straight line speed, and he's big. And that's probably makes him as different as anybody we normally play. He's a legitimate big, you know, 240-pound guy. So it's going to be a challenge, even if we defend him correctly, just to get him on the ground because he's such a big physical guy. He's as big as our linebackers.
When a quarterback gets rid of the ball, and obviously you already faced him, as quickly as Drew Brees does, and that's happened to you guys a lot. You face a lot of quarterbacks and just getting it and firing it. What can you do from the pass rush standpoint to get to a guy? I mean, he's usually getting rid of it before you can get a step and a half off.
Well, we talk a lot about mirroring the throwing hand and trying to, you know, at least get our hands up when you aren't able to get to the launch point. And you're hopefully past the line of scrimmage. You're not standing on the line of scrimmage to do that. You're still advancing the pocket, but you're trying to mirror the throwing hand to, if not tip the ball, at least affect the flight of the ball, affect you know, his trajectory as he gets rid of the ball in the pocket. But you still need to pressure, because if you don't do it, then he'll just sit there and wait for the routes to run open. So even if you aren't actually getting to him and knocking him down, you're at least making him get rid of the ball right now on timing. And that should help your back-end players.
You sense more teams trying to do that, go to quick drops and get rid of the ball quickly just to neutralize your pass rush?
Yes, I think that's what everybody does when they can afford to on the down and distances. When it gets a little bit longer and you've got to get the ball down the field, then you have a better chance to do it. But you see a lot of people, even on longer down and distances, willing to just get rid of the ball, avoid the sack, and let their guys catch it in the 5, 6, 7 yard area and then try to run for yardage. Because I think as much as anything, people are trying to avoid getting their quarterback hit and get sacks, because those are negative yardage. You know, you can survive an incompletion, but you don't want to get your quarterback sacked and now you're in negative yardage situations on second and third down.
Michael Bennett has a chance to reach double-digit sacks. He just needs one. The last guy to do it here was Simeon Rice quite a few years ago. How critical is it to have at least one guy like that that's going to be putting pressure on week in and week out?
I think it's important that you have a whole front four that can affect the quarterback, because if you just have one guy, they'll usually take care of him in protection, either by chipping a running back or putting a tight end on that side or sliding in protection that way. So it's important that you have more than one guy. You know, obviously Mike has been able to get to the quarterback more than anybody else in our group this year, and he's done a good job of that. But it's important to have a whole front four that's affecting the quarterback. Otherwise, they can game plan you and they can negate a guy. Just like on defense, you can negate one really outstanding receiver if the other guys weren't threats. And it's the same thing when you have just a one pinpointed pass rush guy. They can protect and keep him away from the quarterback.
Steve, I'm kind of opened up your eyes a little bit as you've coached him this year. Before you got here, you probably knew a little bit about him, but maybe hadn't studied him that much. But now that you get to work with him, you kind of surprised at how good he is?
Well, when we came here last year and watched all the film in the offseason, we thought he was a good player on film last year, you know, even though maybe they didn't, in some people's minds, play good defense or play well enough collectively. You could tell he was a quality NFL player. So not really totally surprised, no.
You know, we've talked a lot about those chunk plays in the passing game, and we know who you're playing with. And even when you had, you know, Akib and Eric, you gave up a few of those as well. When you go back, I know the season isn't over, but to do so well against the run and then give up those big plays, I mean, what, you know, it's a weekly thing with you guys, but for your experience, you've been a coordinator in this league, just how unusual is it, how frustrating is it to still, you know, 66 plays over 20 yards or more?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. It's not discouraging. Our guys don't get discouraged, but it's definitely frustrating because it's easy yardage. You know, they're advancing up the field at such an easy effort in such a short time. You know, if you talk to our defensive line, they'd tell you we need to rush better, and they can, and they do need to. You know, and if you talk to the back end guys, they'd tell you need to cover better, and you know, the linebackers both blitz. You know, we got to finish our blitzes better to affect the quarterback and the throws, and they got to play better coverage as well. So, but yeah, it is frustrating because you're trying to make them go the long, hard way, and you don't mind if they try to nickel and dime you. It's hard to sustain 8, 10, 12 play drive and just execute on offense that consistently. But when you give up the big shot passes, now they're already across the 50-yard line and you're in field goal territory, and now you're trying to keep them out of field goal range or keep them out of the red zone. So yeah, it's frustrating, but we don't get discouraged. We're too busy, you know, getting ready to compete and do something about it.
You had to change what you're comfortable doing in terms of, you know, because some guys, I mean, I don't know if you'd like to, you know, play more single high or more cover zero, or, you know, or you have to play more cover two now. I mean, I'm just curious, like, you know, how much of your defense are we really able to see?
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I would say that, you know, we're always evolving that way. You know, each week, who are we going to have in our lineup? You know, some weeks you might get a guy nicked up who's not going to be able to play for that week. Who you're playing, what they do, what their strengths are, who they really try to go to, and who we need to stop. And also from a scheme standpoint, you know, what are we playing well? What have we played well in the last couple of weeks? Or what have we really gotten exposed on? What are some things schematically, like, hey, people got this figured out and they're kind of creasing us on some of these things. You might pull back and not run that kind of stuff as much. So that's always an ever-evolving thing that we deal with, you know.
Are there guys in your group that you feel have had Pro Bowl seasons or are in talk about the Pro Bowl with the voting coming up here?
I would say so. I hope you're not going to ask me to single guys out, but I would say sure. Yeah, they're absolutely. You know who they are. You know, and it'd be great for them to get that kind of recognition. Really, from where we're at, you know, that's so far down our list of important things. We're trying to get ready to win a game, win one game each week. But I think there are guys that have had Pro Bowl performances, and I'd love to see them get recognized, sure.
A couple more.
Well, is there an area in the pass defense in particular, with this defense in general? Is it the third down? Is it the no huddle, the 2-minute situations lately? Where do you think that the most pressure has been put, or the where you've struggled the most in that sort of passing?
You know, it's very easy to identify the big passes, you know, and you say, well, that's on the back end. But I think if you talk to our front guys, they would say we need to be more effective of getting to the quarterback and pressuring the quarterback. Not that you're going to get sacks, right? Sacks are few and far between in this league, because
right,
people protect and they get rid of the ball, and then they're not going to let the quarterback get beat up. But I think in the big picture, if you look back, and I think if you asked our D-line, that's what they would tell you, that, you know, we have some talented defensive linemen, and along with the pressures that we run, we haven't got as much mileage out of them as you count on. You know, you, when you call that stuff, or just through the course of a game, if you're rushing four guys 15 to 20 snaps in a game, you're counting on, you know, 3, 4, 5 of those times at least making quarterback hits. And a lot of weeks we haven't had that. And you know, yeah, you can always put on the back end guys and say we're not covering well enough, or executing the coverages well enough, or we don't have good enough matchups in the man coverage stuff. But I think in this league, you've got to affect the quarterback, and it doesn't mean getting sacks. But if they're comfortable back there, the skill level is so good that it's very difficult to cover, because eventually they'll just throw the guys open. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Okay.
Thanks, Bill. Busy man.